All right, we've reached the last Mishnah of Maseches Avodah Zarah. This is Perek Hey, Mishnah Yud Beis, 512. And the topic of the Mishnah here is the halachic requirements for when one buys a metal utensil used for food from a non-Jew. Now, there are basically two separate requirements. They're both learned from the same pasuk, the psukim there in Devarim, to talk about what happened in the wake of the war with Midian. One thing that a utensil purchased from a non-Jew requires is tevila, immersion in a mikvah, and this applies to any utensil which was, up until this point, owned by a non-Jew. So when it comes into like the service, if you will, of a Jew, it needs like inauguration. So that is, it needs tevila, full immersion in a mikvah, all sides all at once. And this applies, as we'll see in the Mishnah, specifically to metal utensils, utensils that are used for directly come in contact with food that one eats. And Midrabanan includes glass as well. Glass, okay. The glass wasn't used as a type of utensil in the time of the psukim and the verses, but it was later on. And glass can be melted down and reshaped like metal, and therefore the rabbis treated it like metal in many ways, including needs tevila. The second issue is that the utensil has to become kosher. You have to purge it of any non-kosher food tastes that have absorbed into the utensil. So we've already established that we treat tam k'ikar, that if there's a taste absorbed into a utensil, then we're concerned that that taste would, you know, make, if it leaches back into our food, it makes the food not kosher, and therefore you need to purge the non-kosher absorptions out of the utensil. Now, the basic way that one does that is the principle sort of the same way it went in is the way you get it out. Kabolo kachpolta, the way it's absorbed is the way it gets expelled or purged. And therefore, there are different gradations. The halacha actually has a number of gradations more than the Mishnah lets on, but the Mishnah basically focuses on, call it three levels. Level number one is if there was never any heat involved with this utensil, so then we assume that there's no absorption of flavor whatsoever, and therefore it just requires cleaning the utensil properly, that there's nothing left on the surface of the utensil. Then you have another step, which is the utensil was used with water over a fire. So that means, now, because it has water in it, like we'll call it cooking, like boiling, so the water is limited to the temperature of boiling water. That means, you know, 100 degrees Celsius, 212 Fahrenheit, basically, at, you know, whatever, at sea level, etc. And it doesn't get past that, really. So the same way, you know, you can do a pretty cool trick, looks like a magic trick, you could take a paper cup and fill it with water, and you could, you know, put it over a flame, and you could boil the water in the cup. The cup won't catch on fire. It's a thin paper cup. Maybe you want to try it at home, but it would work anyways. It works because the whole cup doesn't get hot in the water because the water absorbs the heat. Okay, so that's the idea. The idea, therefore, is if you want to get a utensil which was used by with non-kosher food, you want to purge it of its absorption, so then you have to wait 24 hours, you have to cleanse it properly, and then it needs to go to be not immersed in a mikveh, it has to be immersed inside boiling water. That's called hagala, and it's put in there for a short amount of time in the hot water, the boiling water, and that will cause whatever was absorbed in to come out of the utensil. There's a step, a third level, more than that, which is called libun, literally means kind of whitening. It means putting it into a, directly into a fire, or like what we use today is like a blowtorch even, and basically you basically heat up the metal till it's glowing and sparking with heat. At that point, whatever's absorbed is removed, and that's required if the metal utensil is used directly in a fire without, you know, water. So if you're talking like, you know, the griddle of a barbecue, so that's sitting over open fire, not water, and the like, so that requires not just hagala and water, but also libun, kosherizing through like a direct fire heat to make it actually glow hot. Okay, so that's the basic principle of almost all the Mishnah. There's one other point at the end we'll get to in a moment. Now the base of this is psukim. As Pesukim said before, talking about the what happened after the fight with Midian. It's in Bamidbar. I might have said Devarim before. I'm sorry. It's in Bamidbar, Lamed Aleph. And the Pesukim basically read, Zoschukas HaTorah Asher Tziv HaShem Es Moshe. This is the law that Hashem commanded Moshe. Ach Es HaZahav Es HaKesef. Esa nechoshes, esa barzel, esa bedil, ve esa oferes. So these six metals, zahav is gold, kesef, silver, nechoshes, copper, sometimes translated as bronze, because if you alloy copper with tin, you get brass, so you also can get bronze. So don't you put inside the alloy there? Bronze is simply copper and tin. Barzel is iron, bedil is tin, and ophares is lead. Those six metals were the metals they had in the time of the Tanakh. There are those who even learned that only these six metals require tevilah's kiln of the zones, meaning an aluminum utensil wouldn't, perhaps. Or maybe yes, maybe no. Okay, that's a discussion. In any case, these are metals, the six metals they had, and those, kol davar asher yavo ba'esh ta'aviru ba'esh v'taher. Anything which was in a fire, directly passed through a fire, needs to go be passed through the fire again to become tahor here. Tahor means to become kosher for eating off of, like, kashrus, not tumen tahara. Okay, that's the source of the libun. Ach, b'meinida yischata. However, it has to be purified in meinida, nida water. Now, usually meinida would refer to what we call like the paraduma water, the mechatas, that's the mixture of the spring water with the ashes of the paraduma. Okay, and that's used to remove tuma. But Chazal explained, the Gemara explained that this isn't talking about tuma tahara, and therefore the meinida refers to the kind of water that a nida to become tahora goes into, meaning like a mikvah. So that's the requirement for immersion in mikvah, meaning tevilas kelim. And the pasuk ends by saying, v'chol asher lo yavo be'esh ta'aviru b'mayim. That which didn't pass through a fire, meaning it's cooked with, you know, water inside, like a pot, that has to go simply in water, meaning boiling water, meaning hagala. That's the psukim. So that's the idea. Now, inside the Mishnah says as follows. Halokeach kli tashmish min ovdei kochavim. One who purchases a utensil, this is a utensil for food, okay, that comes in direct contact with the food that one eats, from Ovdei Kochavim, really in truth, any Gentile, any Goy would be the same case here. Any, if you buy anything, you know, a spoon that was manufactured in China, so it needs tevila. If it was never used with not kosher food for the kosher point of view, tevila is still required, and it doesn't matter if they're idolaters or otherwise. In addition to the tevila, the immersion of the mikvah, eshedarku lahatbil yatbil, that which has to be simply going to the mikvah, that's all you need to do. So that would mean, this sounds a little tautological, like a bit of a circle, but the point is, things that were used never with hot. So therefore, there's no requirement to purge them of absorptions to make them kosher, just simply clean them is all that you require. So then, the immersion of the mikvah is all you need to do. Prior to immersion, you would have to make sure that the surface of the utensil is totally clean, right? Because the mikvah water has to touch all edges at the same time of the utensil, so clean it first, put in the mikvah, and that's done. So if you're talking like an ice cream scooper or something, never used for hot, so put in the mikvah after it's clean, and that's fine. Lahag'il yag'il. If it, again, kind of tautological, kind of a bit of a circle, if it needs to have hagala in hot water, then put it in hot water. Again, these are things that are used like pots, or even like, say, like a ladle that was used in the pot and so on, with over the stove, but with water inside. So those require hagala, meaning after you clean them and put them in the mikvah, then they have to go hagala after that. Lila ben ba'ur, yila ben ba'ur. And finally, if it requires this third level to be really whitened in the fire, to glowing in the fire from heat, so then do that in the fire. That would be things that go into, as I said before, that are used directly over the fire. And the Mishnah gives examples. For example, hashapud, that's like the metal spit that's used, you know, to make like, you know, shishlik, over the fire, that kind of thing. And v'ha'askala, and askala is the griddle that goes directly over the fire, like the grate on a barbecue and the like. Those, malabnan ba'ur, those need to be heated in a fire to purge them of their absorptions, their absorptions that are unkosher. Simply hagal and hot boiling water won't do for that. Okay, now the last part of the Mishnah is a different point, which is there's a special stricture that applies to knives. Even if you're using a knife for cold, where there's no transfer of taste, so normally we'd say ice cream scooper, even if it's scooped not kosher ice cream, or then you could just, you know, essentially clean it, rinse it, and mikvah for tefillah, and it's fine to use for your ice cream. No concern for transfer of taste at all. But a knife's a little different. We're concerned that because a knife, you apply a lot of pressure when you cut with it, that there's like, embedded in the knife could be little tiny taste particles, and also residual, like grease from, like, say, cheese or meat for that matter, even if it's cold cheese or cold meat, but it makes the knife greasy and it's hard to get that off. It's embedded in because of the pressure that knife, you know, you apply, the duchka, the pressure you apply when you cut with the knife. And therefore, you need to not just rinse it with water or wipe it off. You have to do what in the halacha is referred to as ne'itza. Ne'itza essentially means something like thrusting, and it refers to like thrusting into the ground, like hard earth, 10 times in 10 different spots. The idea is by that, it's also kind of the same kind of principle. You're applying the same kind of pressure. The ground is scraping off the surface of the knife, and after 10 insertions, it would scrape off any residual taste or grease that's, you know, embedded on the knife here. We're not talking about a knife that has like pockmarks or indentations where the grease could stay in there. We're talking about just like even a smooth knife. It doesn't have to be like a serrated knife. A smooth knife we're talking about over here, that is what requires ne'itza. Once you have serrations and other kinds of, you know, if it's scalloped or whatever it is, it could be a problem and ne'itza might not even work anymore. In any case, that's a discussion. The halacha of the point here, the mishnah first, that is shafa. Now, shafa means to, I don't know, to scrape it, something like that. And so this is the ne'itza. So it says here, hasakin, if you purchase a knife from a non-Jew that's been used by the non-Jew for his not kosher food ahead of time, even though it's just used for cold, if you're going to use it for cold, I should say, so there's no concern of taste transfer, still, shafa, you have to scrape it clean with this 10 insertions in the ground, ne'itza, v'hi tahora, and then it's kosher to use again for cold. If you want to use it for hot, you'd have to, you know, do more than that. You have to do the normal hagala, or if it hasn't been used for hot even, but you want to use it for hot now, then neats is not enough. You'd have to use like a whetstone and essentially scrape off the surface of the knife, resharpen it, so that there's nothing, no klipa, no outer layer of absorption of food that's jammed in there. It's all been removed, and then you could use that knife, you know, after it's been quote-unquote kosherized for other purposes. And with that, Be'ez Hashem, we finish Maseches Avodah Zarah, Baruch Hashem, and our next Masechta is Maseches Avos.